Hot route! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
Nick Roush back with Adam Luckett for another exciting edition of 11 Personnel. And I can't believe I'm saying this, Luckett, but I'm starting this episode not mad at Greg Sankey. If we would have done this on Friday, you know what? You would have asked me, you would have put me on suicide watch. I was in a really bad spot, Adam Luckett, but time changes things quickly. With college football during the coronavirus pandemic. And Greg Sankey went from public enemy number one to conference commissioner number one.
It's been, I believe, like 75 hours since we've got those opponents. And that feels like a light year away. So much stuff happened this weekend. It was crazy.
I'm mad. The Big Ten stole a week's worth of content from us. I had like three things planned to write on Saturday. I could even read you. Ooh, here's the headline. I still might write it. But this was the opening line of my post. So title, the SEC added two revenge games to Kentucky's 2020 college football schedule. When the SEC added Alabama and Ole Miss to Kentucky's 2020 football schedule, they unknowingly served up a plate of revenge, a dish we all know is best served cold. Dun dun dun.
You know, I don't think Kentucky's ever won in Tuscaloosa.
They've only won twice. And not, one of them was in like 1922. So, and I
was
think
that
it was
not since World War II.
A.D. Kerwin like was the head coach, the guy from Kerwin Tower. So there's a lot that we could have broke down that we can eventually get to. But as you stated, Saturday morning, the Mac, the miggity miggity
yeah,
Mac.
Start there. The Mac comes out. It really gets Friday evening. That's probably going to happen. And then they come out and say, you know, we're not playing football this year.
That's the action.
They give the medical reasons, but I don't think it takes a lot of digging to realize the Mac is the most strapped for cash conference in college football. All their games where they make money have got canceled. So yeah.
It's $10.5 million from the Big Ten alone, right. And that's not counting the millions that UK was going to pay them to.
To have a season was going to – it cost them money regardless, and then to not have that influx of cash to help bolster everything else, it was just easier for them to just wash this away and try to restart next year. I don't even think playing in the spring would be a thing they would try to do.
The big reason why I'm upset about it, Luckett, it's not because we don't get Maction. It's mostly because, I mean, Muncie might as well be Ohio. So you take that into consideration, and really the one school who was stubborn about it is one of only two schools that isn't within 350 miles or 400 miles of one another in Ohio and Michigan. Because you've got the Eastern and Central and Western, and then eight schools in Ohio, and Buffalo and Northern Illinois are the only ones that are out of it. And I believe Northern Illinois' president is like,
yeah, they were one of the big sticklers.
Yeah. Wow. I think their president lies like a researcher or something. He was just like, nope, I'm out. And that actually, it was a good, like you said, a good scapegoat because the financials weren't adding up for them. So it was disappointing. There were plenty of good Maction gifts being shared, especially like the one of the pirate with the Mac flag on the beach. I'm guessing that was from like a Bahamas Bowl or something.
Well, they came out with a thing last year where they adopted like the Jolly Roger as their Mac mascot. And they, like, if you beat a Power 5 team,
you got that flag.
Yeah, something like that. You can hang it at your stadium or something stupid.
I just found the gif of the factory, which even though we hate Eastern Michigan for ruining Terry Wilson, still the factory bit with Chris Creighton is, I love it. I can't help it. And watching them take forever to knock down a bunch of cinder blocks, it never gets old. It never gets old. But unfortunately,
the Mac just in general is just kind of a college football specialty, because you get them playing on Tuesday with 12 people in the stands. For years, their conference championship game was on that Friday night before everybody else played on Saturday. So for years, they kind of owned that Friday night.
Ford Field.
Yeah, everybody watched them with the 12,000 people there at Ford Field. And it was usually a fun, entertaining game. And you know, everybody knew them because if, you know, your team played them and everybody's like, that likes a MAC team, it's usually their second school behind whoever, Ohio State, Michigan, whatnot. So not having them there was, you know, it's like, that's going to stink for college football. But then they didn't even get to really have a send-off.
No, not at all.
Because as soon as that happened, like within a couple hours, I want to say.
Oh, it was minutes.
I remember being at Costco and seeing the news and then telling my wife, oh, the MAC canceled. That sucks. I don't know what I'm going to do on November nights now. And she just rolled her eyes. And then I get home, sit down. I'm going to watch some PGA Championship. And I pull my laptop out, and I see Pat Forty, Ross Dellinger, Pete Thamel, all got the same text at the same time, or same email from somebody at the Big Ten office, pretty much saying like they're going to cancel. And that was a big shock. And then for that whole morning or afternoon, it's all everyone's talking about, like, is college football ending.
It was probably within less than hours, because if my time framing serves me correctly, I think I posted, because a little inside baseball for those who pay attention to Kentucky Sports Radio on Saturday. I know there aren't a lot of you. Typically, people are doing things on Saturday. But for me, my goal is to have everything written by like 4 o'clock. And I could typically do that if I, you know, get to burning and turning early. And this was one of the rare cases where my stuff that I had teed up to like kind of get the day rolling, I just kept pushing it back because, I mean, it was almost as soon as I got done writing the morning, 10:45, I'm posting Mac. And as soon as I tweeted out, the other news is happening. Big Ten contemplating canceling the season. And the thing that I didn't not appreciate at the time, but I couldn't really process at the time, like, it was why? And it's not like it's not just the big picture stuff. It's you just gave us a schedule. You ignoramuses. This was
on Wednesday,
4 days prior, and now they're meeting all options on the table. And I think some of it was disbelief, because it made absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. They had started practicing in the Big Ten. Then they told him, all right, just keep it helmets only.
They didn't delay the season. They were still going to play
November 4th or whatever.
Ohio State and Illinois were going to play on that Thursday, September 3rd.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about not having time to break down UK's opponents. I bet that there were still people, radio heads, that were going to have some leftover cleanup the following Monday, because that's all they talked about for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I even tried laying it out today like it was some sort of, not a complete timeline, but like a what could have possibly changed their minds from Wednesday to Saturday. And the fact of the matter is there's really only two things. Even though that, like the MAC, they're going to say it's for player health and safety reasons, the only things that could have made them change their mind were, one, a lot of players were opting out, and a lot of good players too. We mentioned Rashad Bateman last week, but Rondale Moore from Purdue, former All-American Paul Hornung Award winner in his only full season of action at Purdue as a true freshman, he opts out. Micah Parsons of Penn State opts out.
But their cash cow, which is Ohio State, hasn't had anybody opt out.
No.
And they've got, you know, they're going to have, like, if you look at the Ohio State roster, they probably got 20-plus first picks on the roster right now. Not in one class.
Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah. Potential number one pick.
So really, like, you could maybe say, well, man, Michigan State, they're up to four people, but that's a BS excuse. You don't cancel a whole season for a handful of people. The other thing, like it, was the Big Ten United. Essentially, they took a page from the Pac-12 and they issued a Players Tribune article that was similar in format, but not in demands. Really, it all came down to health and safety stuff. And they also asked for their parents to get Big Ten Network access. They wanted a password so their parents could watch them. And hey, maybe juice up the stipend a little bit, because we're kind of stuck inside doing nothing. Like, at least let us order some stuff off Amazon. So, and the one other caveat too with the Big Ten United thing, like, it, there was, like, they said thousands of players instead of just the hundreds with the Pac-12. But those were the only two developments that were like, huh, well, that's not worth canceling the season. So, A, they were already thinking about not playing it, which makes it completely disingenuous to release a schedule if you were just waiting for the first FBS conference to throw in the towel.
The whole thing with the Big Ten is their commissioner, Kevin Warren, has just gone rogue throughout this entire situation. He comes out, and behind closed doors at the time, a couple weeks ago, rewind, take it back a little bit. All these people were on the same page about, let's kind of work together on the season. And he comes out and says, hey, we're going to play conference only. And if you remember, people, like, it got leaked out that as some other commissioners were just like, what, WTF? Like, what are they doing?
I think he was pissed.
Yeah, I think he was pissed. And so that happens. And then they release this schedule, and they have this big show on the Big Ten Network. And Warren gets on there and talks, but then he gives all these, like, you know, yeah, we're going to play if, but, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it leaves you scratching your head, like, what are you doing? And then this weekend happens, and they just talk through the media. It's like they just floated it out there to see, like, what if we would get any. Are we going to get hammered for this? Are we not? It's like what schools do when they have a candidate. And they think, okay, we like this guy, but I'm not sure if our fan base likes this guy. So let's just float it out there and see what happens.
And the funniest instance of that, like, it was Mississippi State floating out Michael Leach. And since they got the most social media interactions, he became, like, their leading candidate.
Right.
But no, you're in, especially with the army that's kind of reporting it, where it's the kind of Yahoo gang is on it first. I don't know where Thame 140 are right now. I think they're
40's at SI now. And
okay,
old Peter's still at Yahoo.
Dellinger has cornered the SEC market, but the rest are the Yahoo boys. They've just got their kind of gang. And it really did feel like that. Now, if they're, we'll get to kind of what's happened since, but I think that if there were a in all of these instances, I'm always trying to follow the money. And in this case,
you have to be careful with the source reporting. You have to take everything with a grain of salt, because 40 tweets out Sunday evening, it's inevitable that college football season is coming to an end. Like, pretty much saying, like, Monday, it's going to be over.
Right.
And the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12 had really not even had any plans on this. Louisville was practicing in full pads on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the rest of the league was practicing. They were wearing shells at North Carolina and Clemson.
And like,
they were no idea all this was going on. They were having practice.
Well, and meanwhile, I hate to do this, but Scott Satterfield, shout out to Scott Satterfield for, like, hitting the nail right on the head. And just calling out the lack of leadership at the Big Ten. Just like, hey, you know, if you're going to – we can't be playing this yo-yo game.
Yeah.
And that's what they did by leaking some stuff out. And here's the thing, like, that works in coaching searches. But when you're talking about a season – you know what? Maybe I feel like I'm jumping way ahead of the gun on, like, breaking this down. But maybe this floating it out has caused so much of a backlash that, like, it only makes the chances – it's made the chances of having a football season even better because people are that pissed off.
And then they have the gall today to be like, oh, we haven't even voted on anything yet. Like, do you think we're stupid? Like, yeah. do you literally think we're a bunch of idiots over here?
Big Ten spokesman over here. Like, dude, just stop. Like, what? Just stay silent. Like, you know, saying like, that is just, come on.
I think it's been really bad for Kevin Warren. I do not think this has been good. And then we saw today, Nick, Ryan Day goes on College Football Live and says, you know, Ohio State's going to play. We're playing football. And if we can't find it, we're going to go find somebody else to play. James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh both have these big media releases on Twitter pretty much saying Harbaugh comes out and gives all 18 different reasons why he should play football.
Harbaugh has bullet, like, data points. Yeah. Like, this isn't because I want to play. It's because we follow the rules and this facts. Is what's happening. Yeah. It's
facts.
He really just – it's your best defense is the truth. I think that's a Roman saying. If you're telling the truth, that's your best defense. Mm-hmm. And he just laid out the facts.
And Scott Frost came out and was like,
we didn't talk about Scott Frost.
Well, that's important though, because we can hate on Nebraska all we want. The top four brands in that sport are who we just named
in that conference. Yeah,
Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Nebraska. And I think you could take. I think you can put, like, just brand household names. I think you could drop Penn State and put Nebraska in there. I mean, it matters. And then it starts this conference talk. Because then Nebraska is like, well, the hell with this. Let's just go back to the Big 12. And then now that ball's rolling. And then, like, we play all these games of what could happen. Because this is very similar to conference realignment. I noted last week just kind of, like, how Twitter was going crazy with this.
Right.
It's like conference realignment Twitter, a redo. And now it's getting really similar. You got politicians involved. You have well-known media people, well, insiders, who have great sources, who are giving out source reports that can be wrong in 5 minutes. Not because they're wrong reporting them. It's because the people that they think should get the right information, they're as clueless as me and you are. Because decisions are being made over their head, and they're being made really fast without, you know, going through levels. So it's a crazy time. And I've always scoffed at the idea of a college football commissioner. It always seemed kind of silly to me. But I'll be damned if all of this, no one has anybody to answer to. It's five commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Who in themselves, their job is to do what's best for their individual conference.
Right.
So they're going to operate what's best for their entity. They're not worried about the other four. And so what you have is guys just kind of undercutting each other because they're just going to do what's best for their conference. And Emmert's just sitting there with his arms folded, just like, you know, y'all do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And there's no one to answer to. And it's just, it ends up being, like a bunch of chickens running around with their head cut off. There's no guiding person to lead us into all in the same direction. And then you have bubbles form up, and then you have the biggest player maybe in college football. It starts kind of a crazy movement on Sunday night.
And I think that's what's most important out of all of this is, even though you mentioned the coaches first, I mean, Nick Saban even came out and said that the campus is the safest place for these guys to be.
Dabo said the same thing.
That all got started with the sport's most popular player. And when he said it, it felt like he was kind of pissing in the wind. It kind of felt like a lost cause at the time. I mean, that's the kind of overall emotions we went through this weekend. I was I don't think it's clinical depression if it doesn't sit in for a while, but like I was just sad. My stomach was hurt. I was just like, let me put on something stupid on Netflix. Like I was that kind of down and out. And instead of getting down and out, Trevor Lawrence, he fires off a 3-tweet thread. And at the heart of it that I think was kind of scoffed at by some people, we're safer on campus than we are elsewhere. And that notion, like I've just thought of it only a certain way for so long, so I can't think of that being silly, because that was Josh Pascal. That was like one of the first things he said upon returning to campus. And it's a pretty basic notion that when they're in the football facility, there are people paid to keep that place clean and to make sure that these kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mark Hill and Corey Edmond are some big bad dudes, and they're the strength coaches making sure people got their masks on and are doing things the right way. That's why they're saying it's safer for us here. And to add to all of this, that Satterfield made this point today, a lot of people made this point. They have a purpose to act right. There's a reason to have your stuff together right now. If you, what happens if you take that away? Are kids just, is anarchy going to break out? No, but the motivation to do things the right way is there right now. And as you've seen in most of these places, like that's what I think is most obscene about all of this news, like it, is that this didn't happen in July when we were getting those initial outbreaks. See, like those haven't been in the news because once they got on campus, things have tampered down. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the point where we're waiting to see if more outbreaks are going to happen because kids get on campus. Mm-hmm. I personally think Warren just got jumpy because he's scared when they have like unity crap going on. People think it's a union. They're going to come after the schools and now we're going to have to start giving them money. Well, I think they got jumpy at that thought.
I think that too. The Big Ten looks at themselves in a certain light.
Yeah, they're full of themselves.
So they look at themselves as kind of this elitist bunch. Look down the nose, Ohio State University. Michigan man.
God, yeah.
Northwestern. Oh, if you didn't go to journalism school at Northwestern, do you even have a journalism degree?
Northwestern and Syracuse, but you know, they're
yeah. So like there's if you didn't get an engineering degree per Purdue, are you even an engineer?
Right, right.
There's definitely an elitist type atmosphere there. And so they look at themselves kind of as the Ivy League of the Power Five.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Ivy League came out and said pretty much shut it down right away that they ain't playing, like this makes no sense for us to play, I have to wonder myself if a lot of those presidents and decision makers didn't just make that decision in their head right away. If Ivy League's not playing, we're not playing. I wonder if like he's gotten pressure from inside saying, you know, we don't need to play. And this and that, and then maybe he got caught, you know. I think they definitely got caught this weekend because they came out and said, you know, they're going to play, and they tried to publicly bully these other conferences. And like, bro, if you think you're going to bully the SEC, like,
well, and they did it too.
It's not happening, dude.
Like, and here's the thing, Luckett. They did bully everybody else the first time around, and it worked. Mm-hmm. The audacity and the gall behind this all is the fact that they would try to do this a second time and think they could get away with it.
Yeah.
And to go back to it, the fact that Trevor Lawrence just fires off this thread and then within 3 hours, he gets – I mean, it's basically the All-American team. They got Penei Sewell, Chuba Hubbard. It's
Jamar Chase.
It's a Zoom call with the College Football Awards people. These kids, they all know each other for the most part. The best of the best do. They get on a Zoom call, and within 45 minutes, they have a graphic. Hell, they work Photoshop faster than anybody, you know, and it's got all of the Power Five conferences up top.
That guy who made their recruiting edits, I'm sure he got – his line was going crazy last night.
Oh, man. But they come out with the hashtag we want to play, and they also have We Are United. And most of it, the very basics of it was we want to play, damn it. And now there was something else in there about a players association. And the way I like to put it is they want to have a say. This isn't you tell us what to do. We need to help dictate our future. Like, that's the way things should be. This should be a reciprocal relationship. And it really hit a nerve because, look, it not only was that everywhere, but it caused the old heads in the room to make decisions, to get vocal. Hunter Yurachek, he's kind of loose cannon in Arkansas. He comes out in support of it this morning. And then even wilder, this was the one that I was like, oh, hell yes. They're actually going to fight back. Because in a lot of this, we just see the presidents as the academics. Wake Forest, they're about as academic as they come. Yeah. And their president showed up to football practice this morning and talked to the team. And then they released a video saying hashtag we want to play. Mm-hmm. And damn it, I hate going back to Satterfield stuff, but the quotes are just right in front of me. That's some freaking leadership right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's some leadership. All right. And so I was proud of the way some people reacted today. I think a lot of people have been wanting to say that's above my pay grade. They don't want to step on COVID toes. They don't want to be insensitive, but doing that in Ohio State and Michigan, just directly going to their Twitter accounts and shouting back at their presidents who supposedly voted against playing football. It's a war for football, and Luckett, I'm happy that the good guys apparently are winning now.
It's created this interesting kind of vacuum we're in right now. And obviously, it's – I hate that we're in the spot as a sport, because anytime there's any player-type movement, you've got the voices of, you know, unionization and we'll pay them. Well, if you're not gonna listen to them now, you shouldn't listen to them now if you didn't listen to them when the movement was going on and whatnot. Let's focus on one thing at a time right now. Mm-hmm. Like, name, image, likeness is gonna get passed, and they're gonna get more power than they've ever had. And this one is like gonna let, like, this is they're forming a coalition. And so let's just, like, I think we should focus on, like, how big a deal this is, that they put, these players are working together from all five power conferences. It's not just one conference. It's not just Northwestern.
And it's
all
it's,
them together. And let's and they all are working towards the same goal, which is to play football this year.
Well,
and I think that's going to be good for everybody eventually. And it's going to make some of these fat cats not do something done for 100 years. They're going to have to do something a little different, and that's include the players in a lot of decisions that they've never really thought about before.
And the thing of that the we want to play movement shows too is that if you get people, a group of people who are motivated to get something done, they can get it done. Okay, mm-hmm. They made those administrators look like a bunch of incompetent fools with their thumbs up their rear ends. That's what they did. They were able to, all right, in an hour, let's cobble together just a statement that's more than the hemming and hawing that we've gotten from the Big Ten. So in all of that, I lost my train of thought, because I wanted to ask you too. It's important that the players are being very vocal. It's really just all we've heard from close to home. We've heard this from the UK guys almost from the get-go. They're wanting to play. They're willing to do the right things to want to play. As I saw a speech from Ohio State's captain that has gone viral. I believe his last name's Cooper.
Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah, and he was like, everything else is hard. Wearing a mask, staying at home, that's easy. It really put it into perspective. I love hearing the voices from the coaches and the players. But, like, you brought something to my attention that is significantly more important, and that's that the money's talking.
Yeah, well, elaborate.
You said that the brands, the Big Ten brands.
Oh, yes.
Please, you fill me in on this, because you got to follow the money, and if the money's talking, look what happened to the Washington football team. They ain't the Redskins no more once the sponsor started talking.
Well, what I meant by that was the big games, like Ohio State.
Oh, damn Penn it. State. I thought you were saying Coke was going to pull out.
I didn't mean to confuse you on that. We can delete this out if you want.
No, we'll keep it in. It's funnier right that way. I really what wanted I meant by Coca-Cola that was Ohio to be like, State. Damn it.
No, if we could, we got the president now.
Yeah, hey, that's
coming out.
Hey, did you know, Adam Luckett, that Donald Trump likes college football? Have you heard that before?
Trump strikes me as a guy who's played a few 6-A Saturday before.
Hey, you know what? If he can make it happen, he can sign some executive orders. Executive order, play college football.
Which is just it's a bad day for the stick to sports crowd.
I mean, it's been a wild few days. I feel like we got something lost in the shuffle there, in the kind of hop, skipping, and jumping through the kind of pandemonium.
Well, to me, it's came out that Big 10 and Pac-12 are together. And it just got released tonight that the Pac-12 presidents are expecting to delay the season, if not outright cancel, tomorrow. And it's pretty much been believed from the beginning that Big 10 and Pac-12 are together. Now, I'm reading Football Scoop. Now, they've had some moments where they weren't as accurate as you would like on the beat, but I think a few other places have reported this now. But that's not a surprise. The big question in all this is, it seems like Big 12 is the wild card because it's the conference kind of in the middle between the two. You would think the SEC and ACC are kind of together.
Right.
And I think the SEC would be very cool with if they had three of the five power leagues playing and a couple G5s.
Yeah.
Then it's still 60% of football. You're still in the majority. You're not in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would feel comfortable with that. And with Big 12, that's kind of the sticking point. And I think if that could also start a conference realignment movement too. If the SEC maybe lets Texas or Oklahoma come in or helps them out by playing, because you know those two schools want to play.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a nice card for them to have, you know, down the road when we do get to a point where I think you see conferences expand again.
Well, and the last I saw of the Big 12 is it's just everything's kind of fluid in that situation. And they're also the odd man out when it comes to the players kind of organizing. We saw the SEC and ACC players. They got in touch with a guy who goes by Athlete Defender on Twitter. He's a Miami attorney. He's just kind of got his business in a lot of stuff like this. And instead of having a Players Tribune article, they have this attorney write to Swofford, Sankey, Emmert, and NCAA and say, here's our request. And they didn't – it wasn't that same kind of form and the demands and all this kind of stuff, but they were like, here's our big three things. One of them was COVID testing, which it wasn't just we need to have it and it needs to be independent. We need to be able to have it on demand and know the results. So, you know, like X player, this minute coach administrator to kind of stay away from or what have you. That doesn't seem too unreasonable. It's kind of what the SEC announced they were going to do on Friday. Their like 17th press release before announcing the additional opponents, which I was not happy about. The one thing about this that was new, they had, you know, let's do the transfer thing. Allow players to transfer if they want to. Makes sense. We've talked about that a lot. They proposed a just blanket COVID-19 waiver for this season. Because, and I think this logic checks out too, Lockett, if you and I are on the same football team, we're both, let's say we're both receivers, and we're trying to get that, we're trying to become that playmaker for Terry Wilson in Kentucky. We've been blocking a lot. We're ready to catch some passes. One guy opts out. He's just like, you know what? You're opting out, Luckett, because it's too hot anyway. You like the cold weather. Actually, no, I'm going to opt out because I hate cold weather. And this is all going to be cold weather football. Well, it works great for you, but you might graduate after this year. And you're going to be just playing in a weird year. Meanwhile, I've got a whole year to train, to get older, to get bigger, stronger, to load up on those carbos.
Or you get sick. LBs.
And
if you get COVID, you can only play two games.
Exactly. There's a lot of weird things that could happen. But by not playing and getting that extra year, I'm going to be a year older. That's a competitive disadvantage for you, Luckett. For guy who plays and does well, but you're still burned up a year of eligibility. They wanted a blanket waiver for all, which I think really just throws in a wild little wrinkle. I don't think it'll happen, but yeah, it adds up.
I don't see how they can do it, to be honest.
Yeah, just from a numbers standpoint, yeah, they're going to fall for it. But
a lot of that comes down to money. You're talking about 100-something scholarships. Like, I know a lot of schools will be fine, but, like, you think Oregon State would be ready to have like paying 100-something scholarships or a school like lower level Power Five that's making plenty of money, but like that's a lot, man.
Just to pay for a year that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So but it'd be fun though.
It would be fun. I feel the same about spring football. I just don't see how it would work.
Well, like, I think you got the 2 year problem.
Right. Yeah. You just gotta, you know, bite the bullet, man. You know, swallow the medicine, and then let's go the next year. And you know, you apologize to these seniors, but it's just bad luck. I mean, it just is what it is. I don't see how you run it all back.
No, yeah. But unlike the Big 12, they're at least they have guys talking in the SEC and ACC, and hopefully, I guess his name is Bowlesby.
Yeah, Bob Bowlesby.
Yeah, hopefully Bowlesby's good with Sankey. Who Sankey did release a statement today, and you know he's in no rush to do anything.
A good thing with this, if we want to talk about, but break down the relationships. Larry Scott's a buffoon.
Yeah, idiot.
At 12, so no one's really paying attention to him. Kevin Warren's gone rogue, mm-hmm. And you know these. I don't think you talk about Swofford, Sankey, Bowlesby, who have all been doing this for a long time. You know, Sankey hadn't been an AD for that long, but he was working in the office for decades over there in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Warren came from – he was an outsider. He came from the NFL. He worked in, like, the Vikings front office or something. And, like, you could definitely see those three kind of forming, like, a little alliance here.
Coalition.
All together, yeah.
Ooh, it was like Survivor.
There you go.
One in the office when they get Dwight to get in a box.
So yeah. Secret alliance.
Yeah, in the secret alliance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Warren and Scott, you're going to get the hell out of here. And here's the thing, Luckett, that I would like to say too, is that if they ultimately do end up canceling the college football season, I just want it to be for a damn good reason. We understood why we had to bite the bullet for the NCAA tournament. It sucked really bad. But as stuff was happening, like, it was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
it's been 5 months since then, though.
And now they've spent all this time trying to make a plan, and they're going to abandon it without seeing it through. And that's just... like what's even the point then? It did, mm-hmm. Just cancel it months ago, you know. Like
that's why I think the Big Ten, they just made up their mind a long time ago, and then push got the shut. They just kicked the can down the road, which is part of the reason the NCAA did not help them. The NCAA as a structure should have gave them a hard deadline, like we need to make this decision now. This is what we need to do, instead of just saying, oh well, we'll vote on it in the second week of August. Oh, we still don't know. We'll vote on it in a couple more weeks.
You know what? It's up to each institution to make the best decision
so
for
like,
them.
Which is what they've done with college football here recently. They just kind of leave them be and said, y'all figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that put them in a tough spot. But I really do think our Big Ten just kind of made their mind up. And they just didn't handle it the right way, I guess, would be the best way to put it. But I think what this has proven to us right now is just that it's a weird time right now. No one really knows what's going to happen. So don't, like, every time we get a source report, don't just jump on it. I mean, just take it for what it is and see if something else comes out in the next 15 minutes.
It's just hard riding that wave, you know? It's an exhausting wave.
But I think I feel comfortable with the SEC is set to stick it out and the ACC is set to stick it out. And what we see with the Big 12, I think, will say a lot. If they're determined to stick it out because they can't – Oklahoma sent players home last week because they were supposed to play week zero or yesterday. And they're moving their schedule back, which I think they're going to move their schedules back to the 26th of September.
Yeah, why they didn't ever initially did the 26th of September just makes no sense.
Like, well, it's just – it gets back to where everybody's on a different
– they're doing their own
prerogative. Thing. So – now you're seeing where I think they're all starting to kind of work together at least, or at least kind of have the same scheduling model. But a lot of it's going to be, you know, like when these kids come back on campus, how well are they bubbled? I think this is going to give the players extra motivation to be like, hey, bro, don't mess around.
Right.
Don't go to this damn party tonight. because I want to go play football on Saturday. I think it's going to probably help them this for sure. You have to put a little fear of God in them to not mess this up. But we'll see. Because the best way to do this, man, is just would be to bubble these teams.
Right.
As best you could. But
and that's kind of what they've been doing without other college kids on campus.
Yeah. So yeah. But
it's worked to an extent. Right.
The amateurism issue, though, is just it's something they can't get past. The best thing would have been to do would have been let's the Big 12 go to that Dallas area practice facility that Cowboys own. You could have stayed in hotels around there. Everybody could have played and practiced there, and you could have played games in one of those little stadiums he has there. Or the SEC could have found, I don't know, somewhere where everybody could have traveled within bus ride and stayed at hotels.
They like Atlanta.
You would figure it would be somewhere in Atlanta. You just can't do that here because you can't. It's an amateurism issue. They're going to school first and then play football second. And you couldn't – you can't just – they don't want to do the virtual or anything. They want to have kids on campus. So that's the real – that's the scary part, I think, is that – if they do all this work, they have it all set up, and then these kids go to a big
rush party.
Well, not just necessarily rush party. They just go to a big auditorium for class for English 101, and a few freshmen get sick because old dude sit at the bar down in Florida for a weekend trip, and then 9, 10, 11 players get sick, and that happens at a couple schools, and then they're like, well, we just can't. It's not feasible to do. That's the word. Some part.
And this week was when UK started moving kids on campus, and
Notre Dame started school today with kids on campus, first day of class.
Man, so the UK cheerleading team—they put out a video of them cheering people coming back to campus. Very bizarre, seeing cheerleaders en masse go Cats, hey, whoa. And
a dorm does not seem the creepy. Best place to be during this whole thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing it. Maybe off campus. I don't know. I'm glad that I'm not in their shoes.
Yeah. It sucks.
Especially if you were a freshman, you'd want your ass, hell, this is the most fun time you could have. So it sucks. I will say, too. I am not the personal snitch on if you see a Kentucky football player not obeying the rules. Don't tweet at me. I don't care. I don't need to know people's business. I just don't.
I'm definitely in the camp of they're 18 to 22 year old dudes. They're probably gonna be doing stupid shit.
No, me.
I don't need to know about it. Mark Stoops makes $5 million a year to handle all that stuff.
Yeah.
You want if they're you tell him. You don't need to know and stop worrying about it. They're 18, 20. That's why I get on people all the time. Stop following these kids on Twitter. You don't understand Twitter. You don't understand. He's 18, 19 years old. Bro, just let it be. Let the coaches who get paid to deal with it, deal with it.
I had a highlight of Anthony Davis dunking on my Twitter profile. I needed to click on. It's important stuff. A lot of sports happening this weekend because, that was the one thing that was unfortunate about it all is I watched so much sports
over the weekend. Yeah, it was a good weekend.
They got caught watching.
Good sports weekend.
Jamal Murray versus Donovan Mitchell went to two overtimes before, of course, the Wildcat prevailed. He's two assists shy from triple.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Big buckets, yeah. Not every NBA game's fun. And the playoffs will make it more fun, but that was a really good game. And my goodness, how great is it to have not only night golf, but golf where they actually show the entire thing. Starting at noon, we could just watch golf all day long.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's not none of this Masters bullcrap where you get 3 hours of coverage. What the hell is their deal?
Yeah, golf is just in general, I don't know why they're so ridiculous about showing coverage.
I understand.
Even this tournament coming up this weekend, if you subscribe to PGA Tour Live, you only get feature groups, so you still don't see coverage. That's why this weekend was so awesome, because if you had ESPN Plus, which I did, you could turn it in the morning, and they're bouncing back and showing everybody that's playing throughout the day instead of having to watch the people they decide to shove down your throat.
Your guy Bryson too. He son of a. I was. You know what it is? He's lucky that there's no crowds there to get him rattled. Even Paul Casey
he was in it, man.
Admitted that he was kind of glad that the crowds weren't there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which like
I heard.
What that. A little sissy British thing to say. Like, yeah, you can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen. But
that drive Morikawa had on 16. It was,
I mean,
the fans were there.
I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
They would have been. And the fact too that he almost buried the 20 footer on 17 to get that 63. I mean. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. There was like an hour or two. You're like, they might have six people in a.
Well, it was like a 6-7-way tie there for a while.
And they even had
fun. It was fun to watch. The PGA
guy said that no, just one group, three holes. Imagine a sevensome.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
In a 3-way playoff, but that was fun. You had guys who had to put on sleeves. I'm lucky. I just know that you were like.
Jason Day had me fired up with his mittens. 60 degrees out here.
Oh man. But it was entertaining. And I feel like there was some other sports that I watched that I just went over my head, but
you had baseball, hockey.
Playoff hockey too, because there was a lot of elimination games. So mm-hmm. that was a nice way for me to not think about impending doom on the football front. But like we do need to talk more at length about Alabama and Ole Miss, because this would have been the headline of our show. If it wasn't a Friday night, we would have talked about it. But, that got released well after Bud Light time. So, when Bud Light time happens, it's the clock. It doesn't lie. Bud Light time. So, like, what was your initial reaction? Let's act like the Big Ten never decided to be a bunch of jerks on Saturday.
It's exactly what I expected. I always thought Ole Miss would be one of the opponents, and I thought it would be either LSU or Alabama. Just when you look at how the schedules broke, those are the two that made the most sense because they're two Kentucky hasn't played really recently. The only thing I think they could have done was gone back and played your two most recent cross-divisional opponents, which Kentucky would have been awesome. It would have been A&M at home. Then it would have been at Arkansas.
Right.
But they decided not to do that. And obviously some people got like a big benefit, like LSU go to Vanderbilt again.
Yeah.
They talked about their strength. Teams that are going to stink this year. I mean, they just kind of said, you're screwed. Sorry, boys.
That was the one, I guess, surprise that I had was that when they mentioned strength of schedule, they really did that for everybody except Arkansas and Vandy. And they didn't even let them play each other, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I thought would be a certain when they would at least let those two teams play.
Yeah, so I felt bad for them. And my biggest takeaway from all of this without an actual schedule is, please, for the love of God, let's open the season with Alabama. Second, third game of the year. I don't want Bryce Young playing quarterback for Alabama. Yeah. I want Mac Jones still in charge,
because they're going to game early.
Give him the chance early on. You got to. There's a certain would, like, a rust factor, and playing at Bryant-Denny Stadium, it's never going to be a smaller crowd to play in front of. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Bring them on down. We want Bama.
I don't think they've ever done this, and it's always a late game. But I would just love. Now that's assuming we could get to where we're. Feel like we could hype up a game without some change, but they could open with Tennessee. I think that would be so fun to have that be the first game of the year. I think to have like a regional type rivalry that first week, I think would be so much fun.
I mean, would they
games you usually play late in the year? You play at the beginning of the year.
Iron Bowl to open the season.
Well, I wouldn't say
Iron Bowl party.
Well, I would say those bigger ones for later, but I'm talking like Georgia, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, LSU,
A&M, Arkansas,
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know some teams will be kind of out of it, but for the most, Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm for that. It's to where it's not your main rival.
It's not your main rivalry, but it's still a school you really don't like. Like you really want to beat. And I think that would be awesome.
And to just like that. Give us something like to really get fired up about. Because not only do you have football, but also you get to hate Tennessee for a month. Like, that was one thing that it's fun to have the Governor's Cup where it's at. From you feel like you're in the big kids, you're at the big kids table on Thanksgiving because you get to play a rivalry weekend with everybody else. Yet having a summer of just calling Louisville fans idiots for thinking that their team can beat
them. Getting to a point though where it's like, you know, we've got a little over a month, so we wouldn't even. That's what I'd say if COVID would just disappear tomorrow, where we could just have this build up. I think that would be really fun to build up to that Tennessee game.
Oh man, I'd love it. But I also I alluded to the revenge factor with other teams. That game, that DK Metcalf game, that was brutal. And there's guys on the team that remember that well. There's fans that remember Lane Kiffin's time at Tennessee well. And that stupid – that was the Randall Cobb game, right?
Yeah, Kentucky was 7-4. They just won at Georgia. The same year they beat Auburn on the road. They won both those games. And they were set up where when that, you go 8-4, and you're probably going to the Outback Bowl.
Well, and if Tennessee won that and ended up getting the Outback Bowl bid.
Yeah, I can't remember how it shook out, but
I know they finished second in the East by winning, and they were only 8-4, which is pretty wild. And that had been as Brooks's last year.
And that was, it was a gut wrenching loss. And then you go lose to Dabo and Clemson in the Music City Bowl, but you were really that close to going 8-4 and really getting having a chance to finish in the top 25. And I think if you win that game, I don't know if Brooks is ready to hang it up then. I think there's a chance that he might be, yeah, let's do this one more year. I got most of this team coming back. We just had a hell of a finish. We got a chance. The schedule sets up really well for us next year. And who knows what happens then. Joker might leave or, you know, whatnot.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, who knows who Kentucky's coach is right now if that happens.
But you get another crack at Kiffin. And the thing is, too, Kiffin might – as far as I could tell, and this is really from far, I've seen where he's had a couple good recruiting wins, but
yeah, they're not many in this class. I think they only have about 9 commits right now. So he's gotten some guys that can play, but it's kind of they're moving slow now. I don't know if they had just maybe have a small amount to offer, but I'm pulling it up right now. They only have 9 commitments, where everybody else is at least like 14, 15.
Well, where they're going to hurt this year, though, is John Rhys Plumlee. He's not a Lane Kiffin spread quarterback. So either Kiffin's going to have to do something to let him run around some more, just add a lot more RPO kind of junk to it. But, like, that's not Kiffin's style.
Yeah,
Kiffin's more Petrino-y in that sense. We're gonna throw it around the yard a lot. And he's not a
guy who can make throws from the pocket, deep vertical throws. What I kind of think is going to happen is everybody thinks Plumlee and Mac Jones, but I think Kentucky sees 2 different quarterbacks each game.
I think Corral?
I think Bryce Young at Alabama. And then Matt Corral, I think he's just a better fit for what Kiffin likes to do on offense. Big bazooka arm, traditional kind of drop-back quarterback, can move around a little bit, where Plumlee, he's a straight-up spread-run quarterback who struggles to throw the ball. Like, he's very, very limited as a passer, and I just don't think that's going to fly in Kiffin's offense. Whereas Corral, he's got a lot of tools. He's got a very high ceiling. He's just really raw.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw in the Egg Bowl, you saw some throw. He makes some big boy throws to get them back.
Yeah, man, I forgot about that because they threw him in for some kind of like some moments where you're like, they're throwing this guy in now?
Yeah.
you're taking out the guy who got you here? So – hopefully we get to see that game. Now, the SEC didn't – I wasn't watching the show like it. They didn't say – like, they're not going to – they aren't taking away our trip to the Grove, are they?
They won't say, but I don't assume so. I assume they would keep the schedules as is.
Right, like the cross-divisional. Because, like, not every team is and getting one Miss, that's on their horizon.
Well, it's Ole Miss at home, too.
True, so, and they just made that trip up here. And, man, that DK Metcalf game still makes me mad. Because, like, Ole Miss, of course, tweeted out. And that's such a good freaking catch. Mm-hmm. Like, Wynie Johnson is all up in his grill. And he just somehow comes down with the ball and gets 1 foot in the back of that end zone.
That was that was fun. A fun game, looking back. Sucked that Kentucky lost that game. But,
yeah, they just had
a good
3 studs at wide receiver. Hey, folks, if you're doing fantasy football drafts, Probably a good idea to, if you're going to take a chance on a rookie wide receiver, Van Jefferson. Like, worked out good with AJ Brown and DK Metcalf. Like, yeah, why not?
For all three second round picks.
Yeah.
And probably all up in being really good NFL players. Two of them I've proven already.
They gave rookie of the year to Kyler Murray, though, right?
I think so, but Brown was right there.
It should have been AJ Brown.
Yeah, he was like, awesome last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome for a good team, too. So, man, that makes me so mad. It also shows you how good Hugh Freeze was at cheating, too. They had all those receivers there at once. Mm-hmm. Very good at cheating. I hope we can talk about this schedule more. Because, like,
I know.
Even when I, like it felt normal for a second.
You just got to take it day by day, man. I mean, it's crazy, but you truly do. You just day by day. Let's hope college football doesn't get canceled. Let's hope the tests are all good.
Just got to be hopeful.
But right now, they just got to get through this Big Ten storm. Because they are going to cancel. I don't think they're going to go back. The big key to me is, like, what happens? What's this ripple effect? Like, can Nebraska, Ohio State, these schools, can they pull something off if the Big Ten says we're not playing? And what's the impact of that? Does the Big Ten threaten them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does Nebraska say, shove it, Warren, we're going independent? You know, like, what? Like, oh, I don't know. It's going to be
because it could end up being a four alarm fire, like, of epic proportion. So,
because low key, Helton at USC, he's probably like, I'll take it. Like, we're playing this year, I'll take it. I'll have most of this team back next year. We can come in the season healthy. I probably get to keep my offensive coordinator since he's not coaching this year. Whereas Ohio State's like, you know, they want a shot. And then I love, like, Buckeye Twitter is kind of like campaigning for the SEC, which is just all time.
And, you know, I mean, how much fun would that be if they come with Justin Fields and just get their shit rocked? That'd be great.
If the SEC can play and pull it off safely, just the Feinbaum show, rubbing it in their face. rubbing it in their face.
Awesome. Damn Yankees.
<They're playing> football.
Oh, man. Oh, well, hopefully by the time you listen to it, this isn't outdated. We might, by the time this gets to your ears.
The way things are moving.
Oh, man, it's crazy. The Big Ten might have canceled their season. Hopefully not. I'm going to try to turn this over in a hurry. Hopefully you're subscribed, and hopefully you leave us a review. Like, I was looking at some of the reviews. And I really appreciated this one from early on in the podcast. Love the show, but is the headline. Great content and podcast. However, I'm considering about Nick's knowledge when he says that Valdosta is the second largest city in Georgia. It is, in fact, the 15th largest city in Georgia. Stick to sports.
I think he meant South Georgia.
I can't think of another city in Georgia. Macon? Macon's pretty big, I guess.
Brunswick, maybe.
Brunswick, what the hell is Brunswick? If you're counting a bunch of those, I guess Augusta's.
Let's pull them out right now.
Augusta's a pretty big size city too, but like you can't be counting like Marietta as a city. You're not using these Atlanta suburbs.
Oh yeah, I know, that doesn't count.
Yeah, because I'm sure Marietta's got more people. Okay, yeah, Savannah is that second? Or are you just
Columbus, Georgia second? Augusta, Georgia third. Macon, Georgia four. Have over 190,000. Savannah's at 5 with 141. Athens at 6 with 118.
Okay, see, you can't count Athens' student population and not count the military population of Valdosta. So I'm disqualifying this Wikipedia.
Well, and then the next are like Sandy Springs, Roswell, Johns Creek, Albany.
Oh yeah, there lies in there. Valdosta's got more people than that. I'm gonna go there and count them myself. Damn it.
But yeah, Atlanta, Columbus, and Augusta all have over 190,000. And then Macon's right at 150.
Atlanta has more than 190,000 people? That's a surprise. But we did have one from May where somebody says, I love the way Nick and Adam's vibe. Keep up the good work. And you keep up the good work, listener. Keep on listening. Just keep up that good work.
Fingers crossed, next week we can just talk some regular football.
That'd be nice.
Let's just preseason the year.
So
maybe Nick will have a schedule in his hands. Maybe not. Oh,
man. I was really in a dark place on Friday. Look at,
I can tell.
I mean, it was bad. I was like throwing a temper tantrum. Now it doesn't help. My son's he had a rough week. I think he started to teeth a little. I don't know. I can't really tell. He's just been pissed off. So when baby screams at me and I don't have a football schedule and yet they're telling me it's going to come in 6 hours on Feinbaum, like just get over yourselves. I gotta do it on Friday.
Especially on Friday.
Like the Friday thing makes me madder than anything because that's typically when you share news that's bad and you don't want to know about. You don't want anybody to know about.
You don't get the
reaction.
Your news cycle, yeah.
Yeah, we missed an entire news cycle. It's a Big Ten stole, and that's what you get, Greg. So, Greg, I'm glad that you're slow playing this thing, but next time, let's fast play your schedule or whatever. Give us something to conversate about. We need that. And you can't be doing this little dipsy do either. Like, that's just this Big Ten. What a joke.
Wild times, man. Wild times.
It is wild times. We didn't get to recruiting, but we got to get out of here. We'll tease your recruiting post or whatever. We're going to post it at some point this week, but recruiting the tight end position. Once had 2 4 stars looking good. Maybe zero of those guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. You look at their board, and they really don't have anybody there. So what they
do. Pretty good if old Jordan Dingle decided to go elsewhere. So, I don't know. Something to keep an eye on for this week. But, we're out of time. We got to get out of here. It's bedtime. It's not bedtime for you. Keep on listening. Keep on subscribing. Keep on enjoying 11 Personnel. And we'll be back talking more football with the season happening. College football, it's here. College football, it's here.